Our message today is going to be focusing on discipleship. And our scripture is Matthew 28:16-20. It's page 994 in your pew Bibles. And you might want to open that up. We'll just kind of keep coming back to that. Question, as followers of Jesus Christ, what are the greatest things that Jesus is asking of us? Asking of you and asking of me. There are three that come to my mind. The first one is the greatest commandment. Love your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. The second is the second greatest commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the third is the Great Commission. To me, those were the three that came to my mind on the greatest things that Jesus is asking of you and me as followers. I always thought the Great Commission was simply going out and sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with non-believers. But going out and sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is only the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19a says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." I thought if I worked hard enough on loving God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and on loving my neighbor as myself, that when I got better at that, then I would look at sharing the gospel with those that the Lord put in my path. But without having gotten very good at loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, or my neighbor as myself, I thought that I could invite non-believers to church and have Pastor Will share the gospel with them, and that I'd receive partial credit for that. If my question for you this Sunday morning would have been, where are you in the process of being obedient to the Great Commission? What would your answer have been? If I had asked you, what is included in being obedient to Jesus' great commandment? Would your answer have been as shallow and uninformed as mine was? There's a story of a little boy who fell out of bed. When his mother asked him what happened, he answered, "I don't know. I guess I stayed too close to where I got in." I guess I stayed too close to where I got in. How many of us could give that same answer about our spiritual growth, our walk with the Lord, our prayer life, our digging deeper in Scripture, our really knowing and trusting and obeying Jesus Christ? I guess I stayed too close to where I got in. So let's take a closer look at the Great Commission. Matthew 28:16-20. I'll read it through once. Please follow along. Starting at verse 16. "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" The Great Commission. What is the definition of a commission? Quote, "An instruction, command, or duty given to a person or group of people." End quote. An instruction, command, or duty given to a person or group of people. The fact that the word "great" is placed directly in front of the word "commission" tells us that it was very high on Jesus' list of things for us to do. My title for today's message is "Didn't Know or Don't Care." It's meant to get our attention and point us to God's word for an explanation. Note, sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, isn't even mentioned here in the Great Commission, although it is a key element in the process of becoming and making a disciple. When Jesus gave his Great Commission, it was and is meant to be a great instruction, a great command, a great duty given to individual persons, Jesus' disciples, Jesus' followers, you and me. And they made up the group of people, the first church of Christ, the Great Commission. You and I, as individual believers and as groups, as a group representing Timber Ridge Community Church, are each individually and as a church corporately held accountable by Jesus to fulfill his Great Commission. My question for each of us this morning is what do we say to that? Will our excuse be, we didn't know? Or will it be, we don't care? Matthew 28:16-20 is pretty clear, but it's not easy. If we didn't know it, is it because we're not digging deep enough into God's word? How good of an excuse is that for me, for you? This morning we're going to dig a little deeper. We're going to remove the excuse that we really didn't know about the Great Commission. Then our only excuse will be, we don't care. Matthew 28:16-20 can also be called the mission of the church. If we are believers and followers of Jesus Christ, we are God's church. So this is, or should be, our personal mission, and corporately our church mission as the family of Timber Ridge Community Church. So let's look closer at Matthew 28, starting at verse 16. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. Jesus has victoriously fulfilled his earthly mission. He, as God the Son, took on flesh and became fully God and fully man. He lived a sinless life, becoming the perfect sacrifice. He died on the cross, paying the penalty for our sins. He arose from the tomb, conquering sin, Satan, and death. His mission on earth was finished. Jesus is now ready to return to the Father in heaven as King Jesus to reign over his kingdom. But first, he has scheduled a last earthly meeting with his disciples, his followers, in order to give them his great commission. In our minds, we can almost see the 11 disciples as they approach Jesus on the mountain, some running, some falling on their knees, maybe some laying prostrate on the ground, praising, honoring, and glorifying him. But wait a minute. It says, but some were doubtful. So maybe there were more than just the 11 coming to see Jesus. All throughout Jesus' earthly ministry, we see some wholeheartedly trusting in him. We see some lukewarm. And we see some just curious or wanting just to be a part of the crowd. Are we, the people who make up the Christian church today, any different from that type of gathering? Verse 18, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Jesus has finished his earthly mission victoriously. God the Father is now calling him back to heaven to sit in authority at his right hand. Jesus has lordship, as absolute sovereign authority over all those who believe in him and all those who don't. Over all mankind and over all spiritual beings. This is clear proof of Jesus' deity. God the Father has exalted him above all. John 3:35 tells us, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Yes, this verse fits right into our lesson, but listen to what comes next in verse 36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. He who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. I don't know about you, but I see this verse as telling me that if we are not obeying Jesus' great commission, we will not see life, and the wrath of God abides on us. We can say we didn't know, but do we really want to say we don't care? So what specifically is Jesus commissioning us as his followers to do? Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. I remember a pastor or an elder a long time ago telling me to look for the verbs as I read scripture. So let's look at the first verb in Jesus' great commission to his followers, his church. It's go, G-O. That's the first verb. It implies intentionality, action, and direction. Go means to get up and start doing what Jesus is asking us to do. Go. Jesus is not telling his disciples to get up and go to church. Jesus is telling his disciples to get up and go out to the people. Verse 19, go there and make disciples of all the nations. The second verb is make. or make disciples. And it is an imperative verb. I didn't do well in English, okay? But an imperative verb means that it is of vital importance. It's critical. Make disciples. It is to be the mission of us as followers of Jesus Christ. It is to be the mission of Timber Ridge Community Church. Looked up the definition of discipleship. It says, in a Christian sense, it means to follow Jesus Christ. Discipleship, to follow Jesus Christ. In other words, the Great Commission is telling us to go, therefore, and make followers of Jesus Christ. Definition of a disciple says, someone who follows another person or another way of life, who submits himself to the discipline teaching of that leader or way. In other words, the Great Commission is telling us to go, therefore, and make followers of Jesus Christ, who will submit themselves to his discipline, his teaching. Becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ, becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, begins with what we call conversion, or being born again spiritually, the process of becoming a believer. Conversion can be described as turning from life and turning to God, or repenting and believing the gospel, or receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior, Lord and Savior, or dying to sin and coming alive in Christ. Conversion is not about making a decision to raise our hands or to walk to the front of the church. It is not about saying the right words or praying the proper prayer. It's all about God. It's all about a new heart and a new spirit, being born again. Ezekiel 36:26 says, moreover, I will give you, see what it says there? Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a new heart of flesh. God, the Holy Spirit, does all the regenerative work on a non-believer. Then they make the decision to give up their old life and turn to Jesus and follow him as his disciple. God gives us a part in the non-believer's conversion, and that becomes the first step in making disciples. Our part is to pray and then be prepared to go and share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, with those whom God places in our path. If they are not yet believers, if they have not yet been born again spiritually, they will need an opportunity to hear the gospel in order that they might have faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. This is the word of Christ, his story. You and I, as disciples of Christ, being obedient to make disciples, must be ready and willing to go and share the gospel, thus giving non-believers the opportunity to hear the word of Christ. Note, it is our responsibility to pray and go and share the good news, but it is God's responsibility and his alone to save the lost. If the Holy Spirit does his regenerative work, they can repent of their sins and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then we can begin the process of discipleship. If they don't repent and believe, we can continue to pray for them, love them, and continue to try to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, with them. We're back at Matthew 28, verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, all the nations. All the nations can mean everywhere on earth. It can also mean all people groups. It can also mean our neighborhood, our community, or our families. If we are Christ's disciples, we are his missionaries, his ambassadors, here, there, and everywhere. All can mean that we are not to overlook anyone who God puts in our path. Verse 19, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The next verb here is baptizing. Note, this is not a man-made tradition or a religious suggestion. Jesus Christ is telling us to make disciples and then baptize them. Jesus is not saying we baptize to make disciples. He is commissioning us to make disciples and then baptize them. Baptism is not a part of conversion. Non-believers don't get saved by being baptized. But Jesus Christ is telling us that when someone repents of their sins and believes in Him and Him alone for their salvation, we are to baptize them as new born-again believers.
Amen.
Baptism is the first act of obedience called for of a new believer by our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. The verb teaching tells us that we as disciples are to teach other believers about Jesus. We are not only to teach them about Jesus, but by our example, we are to help them observe what God wants them to know and who God wants them to become. Teaching them about loving God, loving their neighbor, being a disciple, and making disciples. Jesus isn't asking us to fill up His church with warm bodies. He is asking us to fill up His church with those who will follow Him in obedience by being and making disciples. We are to make disciples, followers of Christ. We are not to make church consumers. Church consumers are those who come to church to be served, to be entertained, to see what the church can do for them. Disciples are followers of Jesus Christ who are to learn from their Bibles, from elders preaching and teaching, and from godly discipleship from other Christians. They are to learn about Jesus, His ways, His life, as they obediently follow in His steps to become and make other disciples. Verse 20, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The last verb is with. Jesus is not only commissioning us to make disciples, He is promising that He will not only be on our side, but that He will be at our side throughout the process of discipleship. A quote from H.B. Charles, the last command of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Great Commission, must remain as the first priority of the church. Earlier in my message this morning, I said, you and I as individual believers and as a church group representing Timber Ridge Community Church are each individually and as a church corporately held accountable by Jesus to fulfill His Great Commission. If we were listening this morning, we can no longer say, Jesus, I really don't know what Your Great Commission is all about. And that only leaves us with the following excuse. Jesus, I really don't care about obeying Your Great Commission. I must agree that the Great Commission does seem a bit intimidating and overwhelming. But remember, we are not in this alone. Matthew 19:26 says, and looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people, this is impossible. With each of us, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. In closing, I have 5 questions. These are for myself and for each of you. I've also put them in your bulletin, but I'll read through these. The first question, have you been saved, born again spiritually? Now, some of you might answer, I'm here in church, aren't I? But attending church or being as good as you can be, those aren't really answers to my question. Has the Holy Spirit opened your blind eyes, your deaf ears, and softened your hard heart? Jesus said, repent and believe in the gospel. Have you repented, turned away from your daily sin, and turned toward Jesus Christ? Have you believed in the gospel, who Jesus is, why Jesus came to earth, and what Jesus asks of His followers? Have you received the seal of your conversion, the Holy Spirit dwelling within you? And last but not least, are you producing kingdom fruit? Question 2, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? How quickly most of us would raise our hands and say yes in answer to this question. If you think that you have been saved, born again spiritually, then you might assume that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. But being a follower of Jesus means you are following in His footsteps, working at becoming more like Him, and really trying to be obedient to His greatest commandments and His great commission. Question 3, Jesus' greatest commandment. How obedient are you and I in doing what Jesus has commanded us to do, loving God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength? Is Jesus number one in your life? Do you really know him? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? How often and how intent are you about being in his word, personally and corporately? How often and how intent are you in prayer, personally and corporately? How often and how open are you sharing your love for Jesus with those who God has placed in your path? Question 4. Jesus' second greatest commandment. How obedient are you and I in doing what Jesus has commanded us to do? Love our neighbor as ourselves. How well are you at loving the people in his church? How well are you doing at loving the people who live next to you or in your block or community? How well are you at loving those who God is placing in your path? Question 5, the Great Commission. How obedient are you and I in doing what Jesus has commissioned us to do? Go and make disciples. But first we have to ask, have you been made a disciple of Jesus Christ? Have you been baptized as a believer? If not, why not? Are you being taught to observe all that Jesus has commanded you? If not, why not? And finally, if you have been made a disciple of Jesus Christ, are you now going out of your way to make disciples for Jesus? And if not, why not? What if when we are face to face with Jesus, he asks us, what happened? I pray that our answer isn't the same as the little boy in the story who said to his mom, I don't know. I guess I stayed too close to where I got in. And so we pray. Dear Heavenly Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, cause us to take your words seriously. Cause us to be obedient to your great commission. Cause us to grow spiritually closer to you each and every day. Cause us to love our neighbor enough to share your good news with them. Cause us not to be church consumers, but rather disciple makers. Cause us to pray for, love, encourage, lift up, tutor, and rebuke our brothers and sisters in Christ. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to his will. Amen.